don't be afraid of stretching, because people have really strong feelings, opinions, but also feelings. They might love stretching, they might hate it. There's not enough evidence to say you must do it. It's definitely gonna make you stronger. Nor is there any evidence to say that not stretching will make you weaker. So don't be afraid of it. If you or your athlete want to stretch, go for it.
Hi, Alyssa. It's my pleasure to have you on Evidence Strong Show. If you could briefly introduce yourself, that would be awesome.
Sure. So I'm a lecturer and a researcher at Auckland University of Technology. I'm also a powerlifting coach, athlete, and referee. And I like to think of myself as a strength enthusiast. So, you know, my life, my hobbies, my work, everything tends to revolve around strength in some capacity.
That's perfect. That's what we like here on the show. And we'll be talking today about two studies you've run with New Zealand powerlifters, one with females and one with males. We'll talk about them together because they are a little bit similar. And I will let you introduce the study. So what was the goal of the study?
So both of these studies were a part of my PhD. And the big question that I had going into my PhD was, what is the relationship between strength and flexibility? So, you know, that was fueled by a lot of the conflicting internet opinions that I was seeing. Everybody has feelings and opinions about stretching and flexibility. And that led me to do a lot of reading. And in that reading, I found some evidence that powerlifters maybe had less range of motion than other people. And I also kind of saw a bit of a link between that reduced or less range of motion and some injury risk evidence, you know, suggesting that the places where there was less range of motion are also places where powerlifters were often injured. And so the aim of these studies was just to get a snapshot. What is the range of motion in powerlifters, both female and male, because there was at that point no evidence in females whatsoever. And I wanted to compare it to people who lift weights also, because the previous research had compared to sedentary individuals. So yeah, to find out what the range of motion was in powerlifters, compare that to non-powerlifting resistance trained people, and to see if maybe we could link range of motion with strength performance.
That sounds amazing. So let's dig in and let's hear from you how you set up the study.
So originally, this would have been one massive study with four groups. And what we've just done is we've broken it into two. So there are four groups, two powerlifting groups, and the powerlifting groups were people with a national qualifying total. So I had 12 women, 12 men, all of them had a national New Zealand powerlifting qualifying total. And then this is where the differences start. The two groups of resistance trained individuals, the females just had to say they train. We didn't do any strength measurements with them, but the males were actually what we would say is well trained, meaning that they could squat 1.5 times their body weight and bench their body weight. And we actually did 1RM testing of squat and bench with the men as well. So the differences were strictly because we had trouble recruiting. I couldn't find enough females to come in and do the testing as it was. And so I just kind of took away bits until I could get enough women to have something.
Awesome. So you had athletes and you had trained individuals as a comparison groups. And now how did you set up the testing and what did you measure?
So for the testing, we had the men came in twice because one of their sessions was 1RM testing, but the females came in for a single session. And that session was range of motion testing. So I used goniometry, you know, which is the manual kind of measure of range of motion. So you can get the degrees of motion at individual joints. But yeah, we did range of motion with everyone and it was active range of motion. So they were in charge of moving their limb through as much range as they could. and hold that position. And then I just measured them and captured those ranges.
We didn't mention it. So you had 12 females powerlifters and 12 male powerlifters. How did you match the numbers with the controls?
Yes. So also 12 in each recreationally trained group, and they were all age matched. So I had, yeah.
All right. So you measure range of motion. Anything else? You had some results in terms of maximal strength effort. So how did you go about getting this data?
So the other part that we did with the male group is we got velocity recordings from submaximal squat and bench repetitions.
So how did you measure the performance then?
Okay, so we did 1RM testing, squat and bench press, and we used those two lifts and calculated a Wilks score, just like a two-lift Wilks score, body weight coefficient. So we also found their competition data and took their competition data, and we ran linear regressions with it. So what is the relationship between range of motion at each of these joints and the performance of these men, both in the study with the 1RM data and then for the powerlifter specifically with their actual competition data? And what we found was that there was a relationship between shoulder extension and hip flexion in male powerlifters and their performance. Less range of motion, better performance in those two specific ranges.
All right. Interesting. So it seems that it's an adaptation to the sport, do you think?
Maybe. I mean, if we look at the kind of global results, it gets more interesting. Because while we did find that, we found that male powerlifters had less range of motion in several ranges compared to recreationally trained men. And those guys were, some of them were martial artists, some of them were weightlifters. You know, they had a range of sports, but the powerlifters had less ranges in a variety of movements, we'll say. Whereas the females, there was no difference. So female powerlifters had very similar range of motion to recreationally trained female, which, you know, then you have to think, well, why could that possibly be? And one of the things we thought, well, what about level of performance as a whole? Are stronger people different than weaker people? Or is it a sex difference? Or is it actually more about training age, like the duration of time that you've spent specifically powerlifting? Because we see all of the time that powerlifters have less range of motion in a bench press than someone else might, right? We arch. We do things like sumo deadlifts. We might hit just squat depth. So is it actually that kind of specificity of training that's causing it? And so in the papers themselves, I stick with men, male versus males, females versus females. But in my actual thesis, I looked at male powerlifters compared to female powerlifters. And the competitive level, like the Wilks scores, were actually very similar.
So what was the difference between females and males?
Okay, so between female and male powerlifters, females did have more range of motion in almost all of the ranges that were measured. Something like 17 out of 28 of them, they had significantly more range of motion. And actually, what we noticed there was that looking at the differences between the females and the males, the strength level was very similar. So we looked at the Wilks scores and they were not significantly different, but huge difference was in training age. So the training age of our male powerlifters was roughly 8 years compared to 4 on average for the females.
Interesting. You know, in weightlifting, when we look at the data for Olympians, for example, it seems like females get there faster too. They need less years to medal the Olympics in comparison to men. It can be the competitiveness. It can be, you know, how competitive the female competition versus male competition is. Or it may be physiological aspects to it. Females have less muscle mass than males, so maybe they need less time to develop this muscle mass that is required to lift the biggest weights. What do you think is influencing it in powerlifting?
You know, I think it's very similar. I think with powerlifting, the female component has been growing a lot recently, but it's definitely new. You know, the unequipped version of powerlifting is newer than equipped, and then the addition of more and more female athletes is slowly increasing, and you can see like a dramatic raise in the level of performance. And so I think it is probably that previously females didn't have to be quite as strong to do very well and have those higher scoring lifts. I mean, that's just speculation, but it makes a lot of sense looking at how much the world records have increased recently.
That's interesting. Do you have any ideas why females have bigger ranges of motion than males? Any speculations?
So that then comes down to, I think it really could be training age. I think that the amount of time spent very specifically trying to be strong in a small range of motion is probably what is causing it. I think if we could, you know, wait 4 years and then test those female powerlifters again, we would probably see that they have less range of motion if they've carried on with their specific training. Because the general range of motion research also seems to be leaning in that direction. It started off with there's differences between men and women, and now the more recent kind of reviews in that area have said, actually, we think what you do matters more than if you're a man or a woman. And so what you're doing all of the time is going to determine what your range of motion is, which makes a lot of sense.
But this is huge, because we just assumed, as we measured, that females have inherently more range of motion. But we're now looking into, okay, how long they have been training comparing to males. Because if they are training half the time in specific range of motion, reduced range of motion for their sport, maybe that's what influences that they have more or less.
I guess the other thing that we looked at was the stronger compared to weaker lifters. And that was with the combined male and female powerlifters. And we did see a similar, I'll say a trend kind of, because a couple of ranges were less in the weaker or were less in the stronger group. So shoulder extension and knee flexion, or people who were stronger had less of those ranges. So I guess for me, when I put it all together in my head, because it is a lot, you know, what I wonder is if it is actually just that time spent specifically powerlifting causes a slow kind of reduction in range of motion. And then is time specifically powerlifting actually what would predict powerlifting performance instead of the range of motion, right? Because with a cross-sectional study, there's no cause and effect here. We just know that there is a relationship.
Yeah, that's a very interesting question. Now, is it bad? If it is true that powerlifters who train longer and are stronger as well, they are also less flexible, is it a good thing as adaptation we wanted? Or a bit risky, it may increase injury risk and so on?
I mean, impossible to know at this point, but my thoughts on it are, I mean, we've seen lately a lot of research looking at long-term stretching. So not acute before training stretching, but long-term independent of training stretching, and how that can actually increase strength and hypertrophy. So I would say that it's probably something that happened just because of the way people trained, but not that we would want to seek those lesser ranges of motion.
All right. So should we try to prevent it? Should athletes be paying attention to keeping their flexibility as they progress through the sport?
I think it's very important to have enough range of motion to do your sport. So people think about powerlifting and they think you don't need a lot of range of motion. And that can be true, but you do need very specific ranges. And so, you know, if you look at the bottom position of your lifts, your body makes these very specific shapes. And I think it's important that you can achieve those shapes without having to compensate in any way, because compensations could potentially lead to injury risk. But outside of that, having more range than is necessary doesn't, I can't see any reason why you would need that.
All right, very interesting. How do you see stretching or flexibility work fit into this equation?
So for me, when I have athletes who struggle to make shapes, is how I like to call it, I tend to try and use their accessories. So something like even just like a dumbbell chest press, and I'll say full range, right? Like, do not stop that above your chest. Make sure that you go through the full range that you can. And then you're doing stretching, right? Like, that is a loaded stretch, which is quite effective. Pec flies, similarly, something like the hamstring work that we do anyway, RDLs specifically, seem to be a great way to do some loaded stretching and build strength. And interestingly, the one opposing, I guess, finding with the powerlifters compared to both recreationally trained and sedentary men is that hamstring flexibility, I guess, seems to be greater in powerlifters. And while we don't know the exact training of the group, like, there's a good chance that's because RDLs are so valued and deadlifts in general train the hamstrings in long muscle lengths. So why not do both at the same time? Get stronger, maintain, if not increase your flexibility.
Good investment.
Yeah. And it's a huge thing right now. Long length muscle training, great for hypertrophy. So great investment.
I'm convinced. I'm actually considering, should I add it to my training?
Full range resistance training is stretching. Half of us do it anyways. We just don't call it that.
Okay, so let's try to sum it up and come up with some advice for coaches. So how they should apply the outcomes of your study with the athletes.
Okay, I think my biggest takeaway from all of this, you know, the whole PhD experience in combination with my own experience, was like, don't be afraid of stretching, because people have really strong feelings, opinions, but also feelings. They might love stretching. They might hate it. There's not enough evidence to say you must do it. It's definitely going to make you stronger. Nor is there any evidence to say that not stretching will make you weaker, you know? But there is plenty of evidence to support stretching in some way. So don't be afraid of it. If you or your athlete want to stretch, go for it. If someone potentially needs to stretch to achieve shapes, then do it in a smart way. And if someone really hates stretching, then hide it, you know? So some people are going to be really flexible regardless, and you're not going to have to worry about it. But some people, you might need to be like, oh, you know what? We're going to do this long muscle length training, because it's really great for hypertrophy. And really what you're going to get from them is probably that, but also some increased range of motion.
Sounds good. Okay, two last short questions to finish. The first one is, what is your favorite lift?
You know, it's the squat right now, and I'm a little bit even sad to say that out loud, because I'm a deadlifter at heart, but like, I have really long legs and arms. I'm mostly made of limbs, and so deadlift should be my lift, but it's squat at the moment.
All right. And last question, where people can find you if they want to look up what you're doing or follow your research or ask a question? Where should they go?
Asking questions, probably Instagram is the best way. If anyone is interested in my research, I'm on ResearchGate, and you can ask to see publications that way. If someone doesn't have access, I can happily give them access to anything that I've done via ResearchGate.
Answered. Yeah, thank you so much for today. It was a pleasure.
It was great to chat. Thanks for having me.
No worries.